Thank you, Ms. Clark. What a blessing. How to go right along with the message. Take your Bibles, if you would, this morning and go with me to the book of Luke, Luke chapter number 9. We will use our Bibles today a little bit and turn a few scriptures, but appreciate everybody being here. It's good to be home, and I feel like it was a quick trip, but I did realize that I was headed northbound when it got cold. Amen. And I'm thankful for the GPS. I got going home, and we swung off and got some gas and got some things, and I got talking, and we were just talking about the things of God, and I got on the highway, and that woman on my GPS started going, turn around, go back the other way, and I realized I'd got out on the highway, and I was headed north, and I should be going south. And so I was thankful that she woke me up out of my, I was just enjoying the conversation, and I'm thankful I didn't enjoy it very long before I got back and turned around and went back the right way. You know, if we're not careful, we will get turned around, have good intentions and headed in the right direction, but we'll make a pause, and it'll cause us to get off track, or we'll be headed in the wrong direction. Amen. The Bible this morning in the book of Luke is going to talk about a castaway. It's using that terminology. And so I want to preach a message today for the tape room. The title this morning is From Castaway to Casting Crowns. From Castaway to Casting Crowns. This morning, let's pray together. Dear Lord, I thank you for your goodness and your grace. God, I thank you that you're so good to us, Lord, and we have so many examples in the Word of God of folks that have fallen by the wayside, and that you pick them up, you dust them off, you give them a second chance. Lord, I'm thankful that you did that with me. So this morning, if we're someone under the sound of my voice, someone listening by radio, or will listen to the recording of this message, God, I pray that you'd help somebody that was a castaway be somebody that'll be able to cast crowns. In Jesus' name, amen. Luke chapter number 9, if you'd take your Bibles and open them there, I hope you found that. Luke 23, chapter 9, verse 23. Chapter 9, verse 23. And we'll see here as Luke writes under the inspiration of God, and he's going to say some things that Jesus said. He's going to pen down that what Jesus has said. And should you have a red letter Bible, you should see some of this is in red letter. And he says in verse 23, and he said to them all. Now, who's them all? Setting here. It's going to be everybody that's around, but he's speaking directly to his disciples. In some places, he's going to talk about, you know, what would it advantage a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? But here he doesn't use that terminology. He's speaking to them all. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man advantage if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away? Now, this morning, I want to just remind you of some things that, you know, there is, in fact, those that will try to live a religious life and not know the truth of Jesus Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection will save a person, that it's not works, but grace by faith, believing in the finished work of Jesus Christ that saves a person. There are people who are lost in their religion that could spend their whole life seeking to do something, but never really having it. Here, he's talking about someone who turns not in losing it, but be a castaway. Now, for those of you this morning, if I could put it in context and give you some illustration, I grew up, and probably until I was somewhere in my mid-teens, 15 or 16, I had no idea that there were parts stores. I watched racing with my dad, and I watched all kinds of things, and I watched racing mostly. We'd watch racing, and I didn't understand that some of those names that were on the car were actually stores where you could buy parts. I just thought it was, you know, some kind of advertisement for something, because when we went and got parts, we went to a place called the junkyard. Okay? And I didn't realize that there was any other place that you could get parts. My dad had a really good relationship with the man that owned the junkyard, and he would get a real good deal. And a lot of times he'd get free parts because we would go in there. And by the way, let me just say this. We didn't have anything new enough ever until I was out of the house that we couldn't find parts for in the junkyard because it was old enough. There was a few of them already junked. Amen. And so you say, well, what if you go there and you couldn't find it? That was never our problem. And my dad would never. They had parts that they would sell you that they had already taken off and they had stocked on the shelf. And but my dad wasn't like that. They knew my dad on a first name basis. They'd say, hey, Rex, on his way into the junkyard. And we would have our little toolbox of tools and we would go find a car. And most of the time, the car that was in the junkyard looked better than the car we drove up there to get parts with. And so we would go up there and we would begin to take the parts off the car that we needed. Now, it wasn't until that I got older that I realized how come these parts, we get a part sometimes and it wouldn't last that long. But then it dawned on me, I'm taking this old part off an old car and putting it on another old car, and it was halfway used up before I put it on there. But they were really good back then, and my dad didn't care. Sometimes we'd get a part that wouldn't work. And that man, he'd bring it back. He'd say, just leave it here with me and go get you another one. A lot of times we'd bring those parts to the front, and he'd see that my dad was sweating and greased up. He really worked to get that thing. He'd say, just give me $5. Just give me this. He could tell my dad had to work for it to get that thing off of there. And so my dad would go there because he could get a good deal. But I was reading this scripture this morning and it reminded me. Sometimes I looked out there and there were cars. One day we couldn't find it. And my dad, this was a sea of cars and a sea of things. And we had walked the place and we couldn't find it. My dad said, I need this part for this thing. He goes, I just bought one of them the other day. You go get that thing. Now, I'm expecting, if you've ever been in a junkyard, they just bring these cars around with forklifts. They just like pick them up and haul them all around there and set it down. But I hear something running. And it drives up there too near where we were. And then he shut it off and got out of the car. And we took good parts off of a running car to take and put on our car that wasn't running. Now, that didn't make any sense because I was looking at that car thinking, Dad, let's just drive this home. Ask him what he wants for this and what he'll swap us for the one that we're going to put these parts on. Because this looks better than the one we got. But folks, I'm telling you, I'd walk through that junkyard and I'm a dreamer. I don't know if you get that around, understand. But I'd walk through that junkyard and all I could think about was resurrecting this thing that was out there, resurrecting that one. And I was a young boy, so I was thinking about all the different things that I could drive that we could take right out of there and we could get it running again. And it looked pretty good. And I just had that heart inside of me. Boy, look at all these things that are castaways. I wonder what somebody, why'd they get rid of this? There ain't nothing hardly wrong with it. Look at it. And I think that as I walk through the junkyard, and maybe not you're not that way, but I think we live in a throwaway generation. I think we live in a day and age where people just, they're quick to get rid of something if it ain't going to go and it ain't going to work for them. But I'm thankful that I don't serve a God that's a throwaway God. He's a God that says, hey, come unto me, all ye that are laboring or heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That's the God that we serve. Here in the scripture, he says, and he said unto them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Do you know so many times, if you were to just dissect, how come people turn out to be castaways in the Christian life? Have you ever met anybody that started out real well, but they ended up in the junkyard of the Christian life? They used to be. I used to go to church. I used to be a devout Christian, but something happened. And they could tell you about what happened. A lot of cars that were in there, the front end was really good, but the back end weren't real good because they had been in a car wreck. Sometimes the back end of the car was real good, but the front end was all wrecked up because they had been in an accident somewhere along the way. Sometimes they were so mangled they hauled them in there and there really wasn't much you could get off of them. But they were a car none the same, and sometimes you could get some of the interior parts. But listen, the Christian life, it's a great illustration, at least for me in my life, to realize that there are folks that are walking around, and some of them, they got in some kind of a accident in the Christian life. And instead of somebody trying to help them and to pray for them and to really help restore what was broken, sometimes we were like, just get over it. Just get on with your life. And they never made it. They ended up being a castaway. The Bible says some things I just want you to take to heart. I'm going to read three passages of scriptures today. And I want you to see here three different sections of the Bible. And first of all here, he says that if we're going to really, all right, follow the Lord Jesus, if we're going to come, if any man come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. To really be a disciple, a true disciple of Jesus Christ, the first step for every one of us is to deny ourselves. Many of us don't like to deny ourselves anything. We don't want to deny ourselves food. We don't want to deny ourselves time. We don't want to deny ourselves anything. We don't want to deny ourselves. But when you're going to become a disciple of Jesus Christ, do you know what happens? The disciple, it means follower. That means the first thing I deny is that I am in control. That I am going to set my direction. That I'm going to end up where I want to go. It means I'm following Jesus wherever he's headed. It means wherever he lays his head, I'll lay my head. Anywhere he's going to end up, that's where I'll end up. But let me just remind you that where Jesus is going to end up is always going to be victory. Where Jesus is going to end up is always going to be heaven. Where Jesus is going to end up is always a good place. So why are we so worried about following him? Why are we so worried about denying him and we deny instead of denying ourselves? We'll say, no, Lord, I can't follow you there. The first step to being a castaway is doing your own will instead of the Lord's will. Saying, I'll go my own way. Frank Sinatra is really famous for, I'll do it my way, right? I did it my way, right? Well, today, unless Frank got saved and did it God's way, he's burning in hell today because he did it his way. And we don't like to say that. That's just mean. No, it's not mean. It's the truth. The only way, Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You got to deny yourself, at least in the fact of salvation. I've got to realize and deny my own thoughts and my own heart that I'll work my way to heaven. I'll earn my way to heaven. I'll serve my way to heaven. I'll baptize my way to heaven. None of those will get you there. Only by denying your own thoughts and your own process and saying, it's not about me, it's all about Jesus. I'll accept his way because he is the way. I'll accept the person of Jesus Christ and his finished work of Calvary. Second, I see this, to be a great disciple, you not only have to deny yourself, but you got to take up your cross daily. Now, everyone in here, I believe every one of you have thrown a cross on your shoulder and you've at least done it one day. But does he say it, just do it once? He says daily. To be a disciple of Jesus Christ, every morning I've got to wake up and throw the cross on my shoulder. And I got to carry it another day and another day and another day. Do you know who that pictures? You know when, listen, it is undeniable in any place on earth, some places that have never even heard of Jesus Christ, if you literally put a cross on your shoulder and drug it around, who are they going to put two and two together and think you follow? Jesus Christ. They're not going to think that guy's carrying a cross and he's following Muhammad. You're not going to be confused with Muhammad. You're not going to throw a cross on your shoulder and tote it everywhere that you go and bear the burden of the cross of Jesus Christ and walk up and somebody go, I think they're a Mormon. You're not going to be confused with that. You're not going to bear the cross of Jesus Christ and carry it on your shoulder and people think that you're following Confucius. Because the cross is not confusing. It was a place of sacrifice. Deny yourself and carry your cross. Now listen, every one of us bear different types of crosses in this life. But you got to be willing to bear the cross that Jesus has for you in this life, and we need to carry it daily. Sometimes we're so burdened, we want to lay it down. Even if we can't say this, we want to take a break from carrying the cross of Jesus Christ. And it is often in the times that we lay down the cross that he bore, that he handed us in this Christian life, that's when we wash out or we become a castaway. Those are the moments of the Christian life where instead of following, I took a rest. There's nothing wrong with rest. Jesus has prepared. You know, all the things that are prepared for you. We were just teaching this morning in 1 Corinthians chapter number 2 about the things that for all of us that God has prepared for us, eyes not seen, ears not heard, and the heart of man has not even entered into the heart of man what God has prepared for the saints. Listen, rest is one of the great things. And you could try to put in there and try to figure out what the best sleep that you've ever had will not compare to the rest that we will enter into as Christians. The best vacation you've ever had will never enter into your mind. You've never seen it. You've never heard of it. What you're going to enter into when you enter into his rest, the rest that he's prepared. But here as a disciple, I'll carry my cross daily. That's what it requires to be the right kind of Christian. You say, well, what do you mean? I'm just saying, listen, sometimes it's the little things. Listen, do you know that we bear the cross? You know, and that just means every day when I wake up, I'm going to be a witness. Now, when we drag that thing around, we always think about how heavy it was or all that. But do we think about when everybody that watches us serving the Lord Jesus is thinking, look at that. That's a Christian. Look at that. That's somebody who's faithful. That's something that I want. I don't have that. I want to accept Jesus as my Savior. For all of us, as we go through this, he says, and follow me. You know, sometimes under the load of a cross, we'd lose direction. I got tired, and I wasn't following my GPS when I turned around and went back the wrong way. I knew clearly, if I had read the road signs, I knew I was supposed to be headed south. I knew I got on the right road. I just headed in the wrong direction. All it took was a split second to take my eye off where I was headed, and all of a sudden, I was heading in the exact opposite direction of where I should be going. And for all of us in the Christian life, it doesn't take but a split second. It doesn't take but taking our eyes off the Savior, and we lose track of where he was. Listen, do you know, a lot of times when we feel like we're so distant from the Lord and we're so far away, he's not moved. It's us that got turned around. South didn't change. It was still south. I got in the wrong lane and went in the wrong direction, and then I realized I needed to correct my course. That south had not changed. It was still there, and I could get off and get back on track with the things of God. The Bible tells us clearly here. He says, for whosoever will save his life, look at this, will what? Shall lose it. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. You know, I wonder how many cars that were inside that junkyard. I don't know about you, but maybe some of them that had gotten wrecked, that got cast away. I wonder how many, you know, some of them cars had been washed a lot more than any car that I ever had. I bet they had been polished and waxed and taken care of. You know, people said, take your shoes off before you get in here. My dad actually had a real nice 64 Impala, had white carpet in it. I mean, beautiful car. My mom said, it was beautiful. My dad was always like, not with them dirty shoes, woman. He'd go over and take her shoes off and beat her shoes out before she got in his car. One day she wanted to get a milkshake and get in his car, and he loved that car so much, he said, you're going to finish your milkshake before we get in that car. He said he really loved that car, yeah. She said, after a while, I noticed that every time he'd come pick me up, he went from a different direction. Because him and his buddies were out and waffled the driver's side of that car all the way down from the front to the back. So he was trying to keep that from my mom because he had this beautiful car. But she said, I noticed he changed about whether I was putting my dirty feet in his car. He didn't mind eating in it anymore. He said, because she goes, one day we finally, he had made all the right turns and opened that passenger door, but one day we walked past the driver's side, and I looked back to the car. And she said, there wasn't one place from the bumper to the front bumper that wasn't dented on that car from the front to the back. And she said, what happened to your car? He said, I let one of my friends drive. And he put that thing down a telephone pole all the way from the front to the back. Now, You know, you say, what happens? All it takes is a split second. All it takes, I mean, you think about driving, all it takes is just a minute to ding it up and dent it up. And you know how many Christians are driving around with all kinds of bends and bruises and things, and all it took was just 1 second? They got maybe got focused on themselves or didn't think about it. And again, not even just turning, but again, we don't think about it. But when we are not following the Lord Jesus Christ and you know, we turn the wheel loose, who do you think's driving that thing? The world, the flesh, and the devil. And they don't love Christians. What do they want to do? They want to wreck every one of them. And so we get in this life and we think, oh, everything will be okay. No, every time that we try to save our own lives, when we think about carrying the cross and that's too much for me, when we think about following Jesus diligently, that's too much for me. Every person that I've ever watched that was not a disciple of Jesus Christ that came in church and tried to hold on to themselves and fulfill their own needs, not by carrying the cross, but by going and doing what they wanted to do. Every person that ever tried to keep themselves back and hold back from what the Lord wanted for them, listen, they made a mess of it. Because by trying to save their life and do it their own way, they lost it. They spun out of control. Because the way that Jesus has for us is the best way. Now, it's a spiritual way. It don't make sense to the natural man. It don't make sense to work and that's going to give me rest. That I'm going to work and that's going to bring fulfillment. That I'm going to work and stay with him and do all these things and discipleship and follow the Lord, and I'm always going to end up in the right place. Sometimes we want to go our own way because we get tired of denying ourselves. But every time we try to save our own life, what do? The Bible says we lose it. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake, you know, that's just surrender. It's not mine anymore, Lord, it's yours. Listen, think about how many times you have in church sang the song, "Have Thine Own Way, Lord, Have Thine Own Way." And we sing it, but we don't mean it. We sing it, but we don't trust him. We sing it, and we don't even think about what we're singing. Have Thine Own Way, Lord, Have Thine Own Way. Mold me and make me. Thou art the potter, and I'm the clay. Listen, it's a song, but it's got great doctrine to it, doesn't it? He goes on and he says, for what a man, what is he advantaged? See, that's usually what we think. You know, the Bible, the Lord Jesus knew he was talking to a pack of people that had that mindset. Well, if I do that, what am I advantaged? What am I going to get out of it? What's going to help me if I follow the Lord? He says, what is a man advantaged? If he gain the whole world and lose himself or be a castaway. You see, the first half of that statement, everybody tuned in their ears. Because they're like, well, what is a man advantaged? But they didn't catch the context. And then Jesus says, he reminds them that he was just talking about a man that'll lose his life for my sake shall find it. He said, what is it going to advantage a man if he gained the whole world? But he ends up as a castaway. You know, I walked through that junkyard and there were some beautiful automobiles. Some cars that even used, I probably never could have afforded. And I thought some of them were altogether whole. All the parts are there. They still look good sitting in there. But I thought, why did somebody cast it away? You know, and I talked to him. He said, oh, we don't hardly sell no parts off that Jaguar. He said, not because they're not broke down, just we don't have that many of them out there. It's just not many of them, you know, around here. And if they break down, they usually just get rid of them and get another one. You know, sometimes we are all, you know, I don't know where you rate yourself at this morning. I definitely think I would be somewhere in the range of Ford, Chevrolet, okay, or Dodge. I really don't think I'm a Dodge. I'm over in Ford, Chevrolet category, okay? But I mean, you know, some of you out there may think you're Cadillac, you're Lincoln. Amen. Hey, I mean, gain the whole world. Many of you, maybe you think you're a foreign sports car. I don't really think of that way of myself, but maybe that's because I'm not from a foreign country. Maybe you're here this morning, I'm Mercedes-Benz. I'm an Aston Martin. I mean, we could go through all the list of things, but sometimes the way we think of ourselves, what advantage? What advantage is this? See, well, being a castaway, you know, it's a lot harder to deny yourself when you think more highly of yourself than you really are. When you really think, you know, I'm worth so much more than everybody else. You know, I'm just going to remind you this morning, a soul is a soul. You know, I mean, because some of you, you may think, well, what were those 201 souls? Who were they? What does it matter? A soul is a soul. Were you in high-rent neighborhoods or were you in low-rent neighborhoods? What's it matter? A soul is a soul. Hey, we got to get back to the place where we realize that every soul is precious. And that to us, if that is true, if that is absolutely true, then my soul and your soul is precious to a holy God who desperately wants us to follow him and not be a castaway. Turn with me quickly. I want to just show you Matthew chapter number 5. Why is it important that a disciple not become a castaway? And what does it look like to be somebody? And what happens when a person, Jesus didn't just tell us that way and maybe from a junkyard perspective, but in Matthew, he talks to them. Maybe you ladies can put this in perspective of maybe some you know, salt and pepper. What good is salt? Man, I'm telling you right now, when mama cooks, if she ain't using salt, I don't want it. Look at the Bible and what the Bible says. He talks about in verse 13 of chapter number 5, he says, ye art the salt of the earth, but if the salt hath lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is therefore good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world, a city that is set on a hill that cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. You realize the reason we must deny ourselves and take up our cross daily and follow the Lord Jesus Christ is because there's a world of people who need to be salted. There's a world of people who need to see the light of the Lord Jesus reflecting and shining out of every one of us. He desperately wants to use us. He doesn't want us to be a castaway. But when the salt has lost its savor, what good is it? When we really think about who we are as Christians in the Christian life, and I don't want to spend my time in the junkyard. Are you still salty? When people get around you, what do you talk about? You talk about the things of the world, or do you season the conversation with the gospel of Jesus Christ? You know, sometimes you think, man, well, preacher, you just want me to witness. No, you know, the greatest witness of all is always just, you know, most of the time, it starts with praise. It doesn't start with, if you died today, do you know where you spend eternity? Now, that's great. That's a great witness. But most of the time, in a personal setting, standing in line at the grocery store, at the convenience store, at the pump, usually somewhere in my conversation, they will hear me say, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And most of the time, I'll watch somebody that doesn't know Jesus. They get that look on their face like, that's a religious fanatic. And they're right. And then I begin to say, hey, how are you doing today? And they'll look like, I don't know if I want to talk to him. And I'll say, hey, I say, it's beautiful out here today. And usually we'll strike up a conversation, and they'll say something about something that's going on in their life, and I will be able to tell them about how God is taking care of me. I'll tell them how I wouldn't be doing all right if it wasn't for the Lord. Do you know when most everybody will share either their downs or their ups or what's going on with you? Just in a short moment of conversation, and I'll get an opportunity to any good that's going on in my life or even the bad that God's brought me from, I'll be able to be salt in this world. Do you know this world desperately needs to be salt, have salt and light in it? It desperately needs it. Do you know what's going to happen when the salt and light is drawn out of this earth? The tribulation period will begin. The man of sin and the Antichrist will take over. And so listen, when you know what Jesus said? He said, will I find faith on the earth when I return? That means in this day and age, you know what broke my heart being out there and talking to him? He said, I don't know of anybody else who does it, but you know, I met that preacher. That wasn't a preacher. That was a deacon in the church. I met an evangelist. His son is pastoring a big church out in the Midwest, and he was an evangelist. I didn't really know him from Adam. He just came up and talked to me and said, preacher, you'd be surprised. He said, I'm so glad you're here. You guys are doing this. He goes, He said, there are so many independent fundamental Baptist churches that I go to as an evangelist. They have no soul winning program. They have no outreach. See, because the salt had lost its savor. You know, that little church, man, it was a revival for them to see that it could happen. You know why he wanted us to come out there? Because they needed to revive their soul winning efforts. They needed to see that people can be saved, that if you go out in force and tell people about Jesus, that they will accept the Savior and they'll come to Jesus Christ and join the church and be baptized. See, we live in a day and age where churches, they just normally go through the motions. They cook all the eggs and they put them on the plate and people eat them, but they don't like it because there ain't no salt. You say, preacher, you don't eat. Listen, I'm telling you right now, if you don't have salt, you know what you all do that don't eat salt? You go get a salt substitute because you don't like it either. And I'm going to tell you, there's no substitute for the Lord Jesus Christ. There are people that try to get all kinds of stuff and substitute him in different ways, but there's no substitute. By the way, there's no substitute for light. You know, I don't care who you are. When you get in a place that it's dim, I go in a restaurant and they're trying to make it romantic. I take my phone out and put my flashlight on the menu so I can read it because I came there to eat. Amen. I want to get something good and I need to see what the price is. Or I may be washing dishes before I get out of here. Hey, folks, we got to come to the place in this life where we realize the world is lost and dying, and it desperately needs a salt that purifies. It needs the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to turn one more passage of Scripture with me today. I want you to look at John chapter number 6. Jesus is speaking again in this passage of Scripture, and he's going to talk about again that he'll in no wise cast out. Do you know we have a wonderful promise of the Father for all of us? See, if we're not careful, we'll think that the preacher's talking about, well, I serve God, and if I don't, he's going to throw me in the junkyard, and I'm not going to heaven. That ain't the way it is. I serve a good God. I'm just talking about maybe serving God for a while and then being put on the shelf. I'm talking about serving God and then not being able to be used for him, for his honor and glory anymore because I'm in an accident or I'm, you know, broke down. My motor won't run anymore, and I'm shelved. Now listen, you say, well, preacher, you're looking at somebody. My motor don't run like it used to. Amen? My transmission slips gears every time I put it in gear. Do you know that doesn't mean you're not useful? Now, if you think that we just went up there and won 201 people without people here praying, if you think we went up there and won 201 people without people up there not praying, that couldn't go out anymore, that used to do it, and they would love to go out and show their young people in their church exactly how they used to do, but they can't do anymore. But what they did was get alone with God and pray that God would move and that his hand would be upon the ones that were given the gospel and the ones that were going out. Hey, folks, we've got to come back to the place where we realize, listen, just because I'm broke down don't mean that I don't got no use. You know, some of the best places I've ever been, I mean, it's a car show. Most of those cars, they put them on a trailer and bring them there. I think about it a lot of times, and they're all antiques. You know why they don't drive them all over the country? Because they're old. They put them on a trailer, they bring them to the car show, and everybody walks around and just gawks and looks at them like, man, look at that. Look how wonderful that is. You know, I would go home. My grandfather couldn't run with me. You know, when I was a boy, he could throw the ball, and he'd throw it as far as I could, make me run, try to wear me out. I'd run and get it, and I'd bring it back. Now, I wasn't a dog, okay? He would just play football with me, want me to run, but he'd throw it way longer and I could run fast. But after a while, you know, he didn't go outside with me anymore. But that didn't stop me from going to see my grandfather. I'd come and park beside him, and I'd listen to all the stories, and I would sit there in awe of how wonderful and how the things that he had done for God. He would show me his New Testaments, and he had a stack of them. And the back of his New Testaments were filled up with names of people he had won to Christ. He said, every so often, I don't know where they're at, and I pray. And listen, he said, I pray that they're not castaways. I pray in the back of that New Testament for people over and over again that have received Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus says here in John chapter 6 and verse 37, I want you to see, we'll start in verse 36. He says, But I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believed not. That a little bit of context, Jesus talking to the group, he says, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And he that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out, for I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will, which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. You know, one of the greatest encouragements of my life is to realize that this is not the end. The best is yet to come. Going out to Indiana and seeing people saved, being able to preach, and even to look at one of our own who God raised up in our midst, saved, served, and is pastoring a church. And to be there and just be in awe of what God has done in his life. That was awesome for me. But I stood there and I thought to myself, even for him, if God tarries his coming, the best is yet to come. He's just cutting his teeth. He's just getting going. He's a soul winner. He's doing all the right things to see things done because he's serving God. He's a disciple. He denied himself. Moved out into the middle of the country, takes up his cross daily, and follows the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, you don't have to move to Indianapolis to do that. You can do that every day. Be a member of the Landmark Baptist Church and be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. You could be here today and say, preacher, I don't have any power to do any of those things because I've never accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the exciting thing for me is no matter what stage of life, every one of us, whether you're young, you're looking forward to that day when Jesus will come back and raise us up at the last day for those that have passed away. See, listen, I'm looking for the undertaker, not the undertaker. But I mentioned my grandfather, precious soul. Walked through the hall yesterday. I was preparing for this, and I walked down, and I saw a picture, me and him sitting on the couch. One of the last pictures I got with him. My wife had put it in a frame and put it on the wall. That's the day I went up there. You maybe remember that his house caught on fire, and he got burned, and I went and got him from the hospital, and I was able to go get him, and he didn't have any clothes, and I had my suitcase, and so I had a blue shirt on, and he had a blue shirt on. He had a pair of khaki pants. I had a pair of khaki pants, and he's wearing my shirt, and we're sitting there matching like twins, sitting on the couch together. And I remember that moment, and I thought, man, you know, and I thought how precious that was. You know, one day, we're going to be seated in heaven. I've already asked God to give me the seat next to his in heaven. When we have the banquet, I'd like to sit by him. I still got stories I want to hear. There's things he didn't get to tell me yet about this life and of all that he lived and how he served the Lord Jesus Christ. But I have hope in Jesus Christ. I was there. I did the funeral. We put him in the ground. But I knew that wasn't the end. I told everybody else one day he's going to come up out of here. And we're going to stand before Jesus face to face. And I said, I don't want to be standing too close to him because I've seen the New Testaments. I've seen the service. I've seen the way he lived his Christian life. I don't know. I want to watch as my grandfather casts his crowns at Jesus' feet. Listen, I want to have my own crowns. I don't want to go to heaven and see in all that he did. I'm not trying to just follow my grandfather. I'm following Jesus. And the reason my grandfather served Jesus is because he realized that Jesus came from heaven and died on the cruel, rugged cross and rose again. He was beaten and slain and rose again for my transgression, for your transgression. He realized it took his blood to save us. Hey, folks, when we come to grips with all that God has done for us, don't we want to do something for him? Don't we want to one day be able to have something, Even though it's going to be something he gives us, it'll be something we can give back to him. You know, that's the Christian life. It's not all about just being saved. Once I'm saved, I want to become a disciple. Disciples get rewards when they get to heaven. And that instead of being a castaway, I want to cast crowns at his feet. Here today, if you're here and you say, "Preacher, I feel like a castaway," you know God can bring you home. He did it for Jonah. He took him from the belly of the whale and made him one of the best preachers you've ever seen. He did it for Peter. He stood after Peter had rejected him at his trial. He said, "Peter, lovest thou me?" And he restored Peter, and Peter preached at the day of Pentecost with power. God is so good to take folks from the junkyard and cast away and put them back into the race of this Christian life. Don't think that you're here and you can't be saved. Jesus can save all. I mean, there's nothing you've done that he can't save you from. You say, "I'm saved, preacher, but I'm a castaway." Then come home and serve God with your life. With heads bowed and eyes closed this morning, if God has spoken to your heart today and you need to be saved, you've never accepted Christ as your Savior, would you slip your hand up and say, "Preacher, pray for me. I'm not saved. I need to be saved." Would you slip your hand up? Is there anyone like that? Say, "Pray for me, preacher. I need to be saved." Is there one anywhere? I don't see the hand. Hold it up high if you have that. All right. If you're saved this morning and God spoke to your heart, maybe you feel like there's something in your life and you're a castaway. You've gotten away from God, got turned around and headed in the wrong direction. You can come home today, and I encourage you to do that. I'll be right in the front. We'll pray with you. You know, God can do so much above all that we could ever ask or think if we just come to him. If you're here today, you need to be saved. If you're here today and you need to come home, then why don't you do that? Let's stand to our feet. As Brother Bert sings, why don't you step out and come? I'll meet you here in the front. If God spoke to your heart, you do what God's asked you to do this morning. John.